getting real with Roz. Come on.
Give it to me now, baby, come on. Give it to me now, baby, come on.
Let's go.
Let's teach these people just how we party. Let's get together and dance. Let's get together and dance. Let's teach these people just how we do it. Just shake your body, just like this party.
Hello, I am Roz, the host of Getting Real with Roz. On the November show, we had Aaliyah Fence, another fellow musician who I met while performing at SeaTac International Airport. We connected on Instagram and remembered her sweet spirit. She graciously agreed to be on the show along with her bandmates, who are twins and one is her boyfriend. They performed live. It was amazing. This is the part where I speak life into the listeners. Speaking life into someone is sharing something that lifts the other person up. Find an accountability partner who will keep you motivated. Stay away from people who are stagnant because they will keep you in the mud, stuck and lifeless. Every third Monday of the month, I will bring on a new guest and get to hear their music and hear about their lives in the entertainment industry. I'm thankful for being able to spread the love and education to our listeners. Just a reminder that you can have a free download of my intro song, Baby Come on the Infidel Radio SoundCloud or Blog Talk Radio. SoundCloud.com/Infidel ENT or BlogTalkRadio.com/Infidel. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on Getting Real with Roz, you can submit your request to grwr_guest@InfidelENT.com. In the subject area, put featured guest inquiry. Today is going to be a very interesting show. Many of you know that I perform at SeaTac International Airport and around the Seattle area. I met my next guest from the agency that books me. He's been very helpful to me in the background, but is a performing artist. One of the performances we were at last, he shared with me some of the things that were going on with him in the music industry, along with some life issues. We connected on those topics, and then I asked him to be on the show so that we could continue to discuss, because it seems like a bigger issue in the music industry. So on that note, I'd like to bring out our next guest, Robert Roth. I know we had already been talking before the program began, and you were telling me a little bit about your family and about your college studies that you started. Could just kind of quickly start on that part?
I dropped out after 2 years because I was just like, I felt, compared to my brothers who were all really into music, and my dad was a jazz musician, but nobody really pursued it professionally. And just due to a few things that had gone on in my life, maybe my mom dying when I was five, whatever, I was just broken enough to feel like I just had to do this. And didn't want to keep going into debt with student loans. And I'm like, I'm gonna take the plunge. I have to play music. It's my lifeline. So
yeah, when it's in you, it's in you. There are times sometimes I'm like, Roz, okay, I think you're done. And then it's like, no, I'm not. Okay. It's just in you. When it's in you, it's literally hard to kind of let it go. And I'm glad that you didn't let it go, because otherwise we may not have met.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, just to not to make it about me, but anyway, I'm glad that you didn't. So what about your musical influences growing up? Like, what were you into, especially in this area? Like, what type of music?
When I was real little, like I said, there was always music in the house. My dad was always playing old bebop, Miles and Duke Ellington and all the great stuff like that. And my mom, however, was really into the Beatles and Bob Dylan and the Byrds. And so, and that was what was on the radio. What was nice. The Supremes and the Temptations and Neil Young and all that stuff was all on the same radio station. And that's what I grew up with. And so,
nice.
That's still kind of what inspires me, all of that stuff. And even though, my dad hated rock and roll, he thought of Elvis as basically being Justin Bieber. And he's like, there's much better blues than this. So when I reached late grade school, junior high, of course I got stung by the Kiss bug. I was into Kiss and rock and roll and all that. And he just hated it. But I love all the jazz that he played around the house. And that's, I listen to a lot. I'm very informed by all that stuff. And nice. And growing up in California on the radio, like I said, it was like you go from Neil Young, Heart of Gold, to the Stylistics and the Dramatics and all that kind of stuff. So I still am informed by that whole thing. But when I was in high school, in Olympia, I think a lot of my friends and they were into stuff like Led Zeppelin and Rush, a lot of classic rock and things like that. But I had older brothers who were in college, and they brought home, well, you know, when I was a kid, they brought home everything from, you know, glam rock, Bowie and the Sweet, to P-Funk and Funkadelic, to Bob Marley, to then the Ramones and the Sex.
Nice.
You know, they were the first ones to turn me on to punk rock. So I was always a fish out of water because none of the other kids were hip to all this stuff.
Right.
So I got very into, I started off as a bass player. I was really into Chris Squire. Stanley Clarke was a big hero of mine. I took lessons. I was very technical on the bass, but then I threw it all away to be a songwriter and switched to guitar. And that's why I really embraced the kind of punk new wave thing of the early 80s. I was, you know, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And then that kind of led right into alternative rock or indie rock, college rock, whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
And then we moved to Seattle. I moved to Seattle, I guess it was New Year's Eve of 86. So the very beginning of 87, I wasn't old enough to drink in bars or anything yet, but I had heard about this, that there was this emerging scene, and heard about bands like Soundgarden and Green River and all this stuff that were the proto grunge groups. And
you couldn't have been here at a better time, man. Oh my gosh. You were just around history.
Perfect timing, you know, perfect timing. And prior to that, I thought what was going on in Olympia and what was going on in Bellingham was much cooler than what was going on in Seattle, in my perception, with a handful of bands. But then when I hit Seattle, I found out it was just starting to percolate, and this really amazing scene was starting to,
gotcha,
to come together. Yeah.
See, you the know, cool thing about all the music that you were listening to, that you were able to be around, to me, that forms like a really special type of music, like as for you as an artist, it kind of doesn't force you to sound like one person because you have like a gamut of interesting. So what do you do with outside of music? Like for just like a hobby, like what do you do outside of that?
Well, because I have so many hats in music, it's from recording to writing and playing all different instruments. It takes up a lot of time, but I'm interested in all sorts of things. You know, I used to be a soccer player when I was younger. I played all sports. I'm interested in all sorts of things, theoretical physics, the universe.
Oh my gosh, Robert.
I'm interested in all sorts of things, you know, and I study it. Yeah. I think in poetry and literature, and I try to filter it all into music. So the more experiences I have, the more things that I get into, the more I just bring that in. So
as far as like, I'm assuming, since like you said, you do wear a lot of hats as well as I do. I'm going to ask you what I ask all the other guests, like what you using? It's called, so that's what I say, what you using? It's like, what do you record yourself on? Like your microphone or your DAW? Like what type of equipment do you use?
So Universal Audio stuff since like probably 2001. And they have a new platform called Luna, which is, you know, people think it might replace Pro Tools things like that. And it really, it sort of emulates the workflow that I'm used to from the 90s, which was like consoles, tape machines. But it's all in the box. I use outboard gear and
Luna,
stuff like that on the way in. But it's real cool because it's sort of like you can, when you're building your tracks, you can sum everything through like a Neve console or a digital version of an API and hit tape on the way in. And I just get a lot closer to the results that I'm used to back when it cost a fortune, but luckily I had labels paying for us to go into the studio. I was really paying attention to this whole process.
Yeah.
And now it's all those pieces of gear that cost a fortune just to rent for it, you know, per day or per week or whatever. Now is on my laptop, which is amazing.
So I wrote that down. I wrote Luna down. I haven't heard of that one in particular. Right now, literally, it's like right before I got here. I'm in Tacoma, everybody. Tacoma, Washington, currently. But before I got down here, I finally got my new Pro Tools working because the old one has done some weird things. So I am on the top of it, I downloaded a couple other programs in the meantime in case my Pro Tools didn't start back. So I wrote down Luna. That sounds really exciting. So who would you like to give a shout out to as far as like some of your guys and friends or whoever you work with in the studio and on your projects? Anybody want to give a shout out to?
Let's see. I'll give a shout out to my buddy Bill. And we have a studio down in Soto that we rehearse at, and he was a former guitar student of mine. He's become a good friend of mine. He's my lawyer when I need one, and he started a Rolling Stones cover band, which I help them with. Like, so if somebody can't show up, I get to get behind the drums, or I get to grab the mic, or play guitar, or sing, or whatever.
Robert.
So if it's the Stones, it's fun, you know. So. And we share the space and we hang out a lot. And then, you know, I don't know if my bandmates will hear it, but Mark and Hero, I love you guys. And Eamon's been playing guitar with us lately. And so I've got some solo guys too, the Friel brothers, Chris and Rick. And
nice.
I'm lucky to play with some great musicians. And I have a lot. I wish I had more time, because I'm blessed with a lot of great people to play with.
I like to ask that. I ask all the artists that, because it is important if you're able to have a team like that. Not everybody's able to have a team, but when you do, it's really important for me to hear, and just maybe for other people to hear as well.
Yeah.
But, so I've been looking forward, like I said, we're going to get deeper here shortly, but I've been looking forward to our conversation tonight. But let's take a moment to listen to your first song. Virtually.
I have the power to wish you away. I have the power to wish you away. I have
You're listening to Roz on the Infinite L Radio. I'd love to connect with you on my Instagram page, Getting Real with Roz.
La, la, la.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, here we go. All right, so what is the meaning behind the song Virtually?
Virtually, you know, it's there's obvious, you know, this that was written in the early 90s, and it was tapping into something about the future and virtual reality, and maybe a little bit of the multiverse idea that's so popular now. And but it's more of a romantic idea. So it's it's poetic. Yeah. I wrote that song so long ago.
Is it for sale now?
Yeah, it just came out on it was just reissued on Bang Records out of Spain on vinyl, and they blew through a couple pressings, and I think they're going to press it again. They're going to do our second record first, but it came out on Capitol Records in the mid 90s, and actually a demo version of it came out on Sub Pop back in 93.
Why is it just now coming out? You wrote it in the 90s and you said it just now came out?
Well, no, it came out on Capitol Records and Parlophone in Europe in the mid-90s when that album was originally released. And then the album was reissued.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Are you with a label now?
Bang Records. They're out of Spain. And they do, they did a Lou Reed live record, a lot of Australian, like, kind of psychedelic punk rock, and some Northwest stuff like the Wipers, Gun Club. My friends in Love Battery, they're doing a couple of their records, reissuing some of their records. So they take really good care of sound quality and vinyl and packaging and all that. So,
Well, tell me about your experience then with being with the label.
Yeah.
And versus an indie, tell us people who,
So we were originally on Sub Pop Records, which was a great thing because we had a little bit of our pedigree. Hero was in Soundgarden, Mark was in Screaming Trees. So instantly people were interested in what we put out, because that was in the early 90s. And that whole scene was, just starting to really blow up. But we didn't have the budget to do much more than take a snapshot of what our live show was at the time. I didn't have time to experiment in the studio and kind of get more expansive with it. So I longed for a bigger budget before having a DAW and all that, and being able to really play around with stuff. The kind of record I had in my head that I wanted to make was going to require a lot bigger budget than what an indie label provides. So luckily we eventually were signed to Capitol, and we're able to really, do what we wanted. And we were in a very rare, strange, but beautiful situation where Nirvana had already broken big. Seattle had already broken big. And there was just a brief window in the music industry, similar to after the Beatles broke, and then it was followed by bands like Jefferson Airplane, The Doors, and bands that were allowed to experiment. When we were signed, we were given complete freedom. And I went into the Capitol Tower with my notebook at our meeting with the radio department. I'm like, I think this song is a single. I think this is a good one for the video.
Oh, wow.
And this guy, Phil Costello, is a very charismatic guy who was head of the radio department. He's like, Robert, don't worry about any of that. We don't worry about singles. Don't worry about that till the third or fourth record. We want you guys to be an album band. Just push the envelope, create your own genre,
Wow.
And we're like, are you kidding me? Okay. If you're serious, sure. Okay. It's on. And we made a double length album. That's really, it's not a grunge album. It's grunge associated, but it's kind of its own thing. During the making of that record, unfortunately, Kurt died, and the industry changed a lot. And the people that signed us wanted to take us to Elektra, but we're like, man, what if this record never comes out if we take that jump? So, and Capitol wanted to keep us. They actually wanted to release a 12-minute song to college radio just as a rebellious sort of thing, you know.
And wow. And
it was, like I said, it was a rare little window. And but slowly the industry went right back to where it was before the big Seattle explosion, which was one hit wonders, pop, money, bands that sound like other bands, you know, just it that little revolutionary window closed up on us. But luckily, you know, the whole time making that album, I just thought, you know, I have no control over what will actually happen with this record. And I just want to make something that will have its own legs, like just based on what it is, will stand on its own. And, you know, maybe people will find it in the cutout bin in 15, 20 years or what, you know, like if it doesn't get the push or doesn't get the promotion that maybe I want it to, or breakthrough, that it will just be a gift to whoever ends up with it that likes that kind of music, you know. So
yeah, for sure. That is still pretty amazing that you were able to have that type of available, you know, have that available to you at all. I mean, most of people can't get that far, and then to be told that you can do whatever genre you want, and then a 12-minute album. Yeah, a single. That's pretty cool. So hold on 1 second. Next, we're going to play your second song, Call of the Wild. Radio family, are you ready for this? We'll talk more about how this song came about. Let's listen to Call of the Wild.
Are listening to Getting Real with Roz. If you like music videos, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Roz Music Page.
So, what is the story behind Call of the Wild?
So, it's you know, most of my songs have a little bit of a layered meaning. Some of it's very personal. Some of it's a little more universal. I like songs that aren't about one thing, but that are, you know, metaphorical and kind of operate on different levels. And I would say this one is about being an outcast. It's sort of a love to the outcast, to the misfit, that there are certain people, the call of the wild speaks to your child. Like, there's some people, maybe like yourself and myself, that just felt called by something else other than the typical path in life. And it talks about some of the getting bruised along the way, getting banged up along the way. I think for some of us who play music, like you and I were just talking about, it's not even a choice. It's something that we have to do. And I don't think it's just with music. People do that with art. Anything that you're passionate about, I think that it's almost like there's no choice. It's like, if I don't do this, I can't breathe. I can't. And
right.
There's rewards for following that path, but there's also
yeah, a lot, for sure.
Get a lot of, you get banged up.
Let me ask you something, Rob, to go down this path. So again, I'm going to share this. So I'm looking at you. So mind you, I don't do, we don't do video recordings. I'm looking at you, and then I'm also looking at my phone, which battery is never low, like rarely ever low. So that's going on. Yeah. So before we talk, I was like, there's a rehearsal only on the day that I have the recording, studio, and it's and I'm kind of an hour or so away from home, and there's no way for me to get back. So, I'm trying to do the radio. So I'm thinking all this stuff, and then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, now the radio program actually isn't on the air. So we're recording this over Zoom. And so all these things are happening. And in the same way, we know the show must go on type of thing.
Yeah.
So when we first talked about this, was in Occidental Square area in Seattle. You were talking and I was telling you, there's sometimes us musicians, we just have so much that we can help and bless and touch people.
Yeah.
And we have so much of a block with us. And so when you said Kirk died, I don't know who Kirk is,
Kirk
just made me feel like it's just one of those Kirk, like, oh my gosh. So Kirk, so I've never been on a one name, first name basis with him, Robert. So when you said Kirk, I didn't know if you meant somebody else.
No worries. Yeah.
So, but there's so many things like that happen with us musicians that how do you keep going through those times when, cause I know, I don't know how personal you want to get, but I know a little bit of your story, but how, you can go as deep as you want, but how do you keep going, through these times when those things happen?
I think it goes back to feeling like, it sounds strange maybe to somebody else, but I feel life gives you kind of a sign to keep going. I feel like you're pushed, and anytime I've taken more of a conventional path in life, it doesn't work out for me. Like it's sort of like life is pushing me back into this. Like I keep going, well, hey, I have a family, I have a kid, I need to, try this or modify things so it'll work like this. And it just doesn't work out for me. But then when I keep following my intuition, it may not work out in a grand, huge way, but it takes me to the next place I need to be. So it's following that intuition, I guess. And, on the dark days, that's where some of those great songs come from. And I have to remind myself that when it's painful and it's hard and it's really like you're not sure, and those are opportunities too, as artists, because when you heal yourself with music, that transfers to the people that listen, and I think that's that gift that you're talking about, that we play a lot of times because we have to, we're healing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's given some other people something that they can really sink themselves into. And if you're listening to somebody that's enjoying themselves, you're going to enjoy yourself. You listen to somebody that's dealing with some kind of struggle and some kind of pain, it may not be, they may not even relate on a literal level, but on an emotional level, there is some kind of connection and release. So,
yeah.
But it's not easy. I don't think that, there's a lot of bliss and enjoyment in playing live and the camaraderie of playing with other people and connecting with other musicians. But it's also being any kind of artist is a lonely path. It's and it can be painful, but if you aren't willing to bear it and face it, you're not going to come up with anything that means anything to anyone. You have to, face that. Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to quit and just say, this is it?
Well, I think every once in a while, maybe every week, maybe every day, I question if I'm doing the right thing. And I try to be honest with myself about it. And even now, even this week with things going on in my life, and something always happens that pushes me back on this track, and life doesn't always look like what you thought it would, but it leads to the next thing. And it's so hard to predict how things will go, but you know when you're on the right track.
I
heard a story about the Eurythmics, not a band that I knew that much about, but I listened to an interview, and they were talking about that song Sweet Dreams are made. They were on their last leg. They had broken up as a couple. They were out of money. I think that Annie Lennox was on the floor of their flat, like in a fetal position. What am I doing? It's time to give it up. And her musical partner starts playing the riff to that song on a keyboard, and she just woke her up. And life was different after that, you know? And it wasn't even, you know, they finally did get signed and were had the management and all that, but that wasn't, the album went nowhere until that was the third or fourth single. So, you know, it's never this smooth, straight, linear path. There's always these ups and downs. And the more I hear about other people going through that, it reminds me to not expect too much and to be grateful for what you have. And you know, I've been willing to do other things. I teach music, but I keep getting pulled back into this. You know, as long as people are interested, I feel like, how can I not continue to do it on some level? I have responsibility, but I have to. This is one of them. This is a big one, you know, so.
How do you, one of the things that I do is I speak life into like the listeners, which means, you know, I kind of share something to help them believe in themselves to keep going. What kind of things would you like to, or can you share with the listeners about speaking life into someone today?
Well, I mean, that's a heavy question. I want to give a good answer.
You kind of already did. That's what made me think about it. I could actually accept that. And just for those listening, it's just, you know, keep going, even when you don't want to, because we do have something to say. We can, like Robert already shared, we can touch so many people. We heal ourselves. And that is powerful to know that we have so much power in that way. And because we have so much, I feel like we do have a responsibility and we do have a duty to keep people going, to be that glue, that soundtrack to, you know, someone's life that maybe didn't have the words, but maybe our song had the words. Even though I sing a gamut of things, I don't sing songs that are harmful, you know, or, you know, I don't do a lot of this, whatever. But there was only one time that I'm like, I wish I would have had the right song at this moment. But I was just singing and doing a regular set. And for whatever reason, this lady, she loved my singing. But she says, I just wished you had something right now to my boyfriend just broke up with me. And I'm just angry. I just want some angry, you know, things.
Yeah.
But that was just in that moment. But knowing I think my second album, I think that was, or first and second was kind of about that healing and being angry. It just so happened I don't think I had any in that moment because I didn't know that that's what she needed, you know, at that time. But, you know, it's just so funny how our words and our you know, music can, like I said, it can heal. And sometimes maybe you can break people up. I don't know. But anyway, but to know we have any kind of power at all to touch people's lives is, thankful to be a part of that type of business. So Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just take a quick break. And I'm going to actually have to just, because I know you're going to have to leave here shortly. I'm going to have to leave and my phone is going to actually probably hang up either way. Okay. So I'm going to close out with our, with my final statement. And then we, okay, you and I, Robert, will connect like we have in the past. So if you can just hold on one second.
No problem.
So thank you so much, Robert Roth. I'm so grateful that you took time to be on the show with all that you've had going on, and we wish you well and look forward to hearing more. Yeah. Look forward to hearing more about your musical progress. And okay, I'm going to, so the last announcement, I guess, is about the next show date. It's Monday, January 15th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Special guest will be Brennan James, one of my producers on my last album, and Isaac David, a solo artist. So make sure to check out December segment of the In the Mix with DJ Shaheem, which broadcast on Thursday, December 7th. The show was hosted by DJ Shaheem. Also, check out the In the Know with Oheniwa Show Holiday Special, which will air on December 21st and will be hosted by Oheniwa. Thank you all for listening to the Getting Real with Roz broadcast. Don't forget to speak life into someone. Be love and light to others. Nighty night, radio family.
Give it to me now, baby, come on. Give it to me now, baby, come on.
Let's go.
Let's teach these people just how we party. Let's get together and dance. Let's get together and dance. Let's teach these people just how we do it.